Dear, so we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to express our gratitude for your love and mercy, your great compassion toward us, and the marvelous goodness that you have bestowed upon us in this hour, that not one shall perish, but all who are standing here, ordained to be here in this hour, the sheep that hear your voice, will be glorified by your very presence, by your very word, how you've ordained it. We thank you for that, Lord. Now be with us in the study of your word as we continue to go into the message which your servant the prophet brought. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we'll just sort of go back to page 17 and we'll take paragraph 4 reading. There I am, he that was dead, so dead till the sun said he was dead, the moon said he was dead, the stars said he was dead, all nature said he was dead. That's through the blackout. You notice that that came about it, he's dead. And now the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. Now, you'll notice the statement there is a very strong statement. And now the whole world has to recognize he's alive again. On what authority? Who's going to tell them? Why? See, that's a pretty powerful statement. Man come along and say, now the whole world has to recognize he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, God's word, he was the dynamics to prove it, all right? If you're going to put one in the present tense, which is the whole world has to recognize he's alive, and then you use the past tense, he was not only the mechanics, God's word, he was the dynamics to prove it, then something has to happen in this hour of which the world cannot be totally ignorant. Now, they may not accept it, but there has to be something here that categorically proves the statement. The abject deadness to the tremendous aliveness has to be duplicated in this end time. Now he was, you'll notice now, we'll just take a look at this for a minute. He said he was not only the mechanics, he was the dynamics to prove it. Now the key in there, of course, is the interpolation. Really, it's not interpolation so much, it's the apposition, the word's an apposition. He was not only the mechanics, which is God's word, he was the dynamics. Now, we're looking at God's word, and remember there were three forms of the word. Number one, the sign of the zodiac. Number two, the Bible in stone. Then the Bible written. But this was the Bible in flesh. This was the word in flesh. So he was the mechanics, which is simply the flesh. But the dynamics and the proof of the dynamics is what he did, which was 100% with that word, and then God raised him from the dead. Now, remember, as Brother Branham said, the church at the end time is in absolute darkness and in deadness. And a little light glows at the end time, wherein there would be a proof given to the world of the absolute aliveness of Almighty God. Now remember, there was even quite a thing going around for a while. Your car's bumper stickers had it, God is dead. And that showed the condition of the church. And in fact, as far as the church is concerned, God is dead, because he's not their life. And Brother Branham mentions here then that the world has to recognize it. Now, as I say, there is no need for us to believe that the world will approve of what God sets forth as recognition, because it never ever did. But this hour demands a dynamism which once more proves his resurrection. Now, and if he being the groom has to come forth, the bride, pardon me. And he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. Now, you'll notice in there that it says that he was the mechanics and he was the dynamics. And so therefore, being the groom, he came forth showing his reality. The bride will also have to come forth in the mechanics and the dynamics. Because it says here, it's a part of him. So she has to have the mechanics, she's got to have the dynamics with him. Now, it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all of Revelations, any others that spoke of the bride. Now let's go back over that because it sounds a bit disjointed. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all of Revelations, any others that spoke of the bride. Now he's letting you know here that as there was a manifestation of the revelation of mechanics, which would have the dynamics, there'll also be the same at the end time. In its position, the bride has to have that. And if it does something different from the bride of the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she's flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone, and life of his life. Power of his power. She is him. As man and woman are one, and the woman taken from his side, she had his spirit, the feminine spirit from him. Flesh from his flesh. Made mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of him, and the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. Now, what you're looking at here is quite simple. You're looking back to Adam and Eve, wherein Eve came out of Adam. She was absolutely a part of his flesh, and the spirit that she had came from him. So you have the very same thing here. In a bride, which would be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in other words, she, like him, is a kind of logos, because she had her roots in the beginning also, when she was way back there in the knowledge and thoughts of Almighty God. Now, with that, you'll notice that it says that she has the same life that he has, and liking it to a bride and groom, which it is. Now, at all times you understand that the woman cannot act apart from the man because headship lies in the man. And anything then which comes forth from the bride, which is not spiritually revealed word, that the Holy Spirit reveals to her and motivates her to do it, is absolutely carnal and is not a God. So when you're looking at this particular position here, you've got to understand that we are not like the Pentecostals and the Neo-Pentecostals, Roman Catholics and the rest, because they believe that God has conferred a power upon the church in the same manner that God has placed continuity in nature. That is a lie from the pit of hell. There is no power vested in the church that lies in continuity. No way, shape, and form. It is a constant revelation to the bride so that she is all the time operating or doing the things of God revealed to her by the power of God. Now, let's get into Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and verse 20, that you may know exactly what we're saying. It's not that you don't know it, but we just look at it here. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant, above all that we ask or think, according to the exercise of his power that is at work within us." Now this is God exercising his own power. Now certainly individually, unless we're automatons, or under some servitude as a slave, and even then, that is not true in the utmost sense, that we would exercise our own power because we have our own power. Now, what I'm saying is this. Unless you're a complete zombie And even then, you have to have something within you whereby you can move and do things. Now, granted that we have an ability given to us, that power that's there, it is not at our discretion. It's only at the discretion of God. Now, I realize that marriage is a peculiar situation that is so deteriorated and eroded from two sides. Most everybody wants to blame the woman. Now the woman's in her lib and in her glory, and she finds out that all she's done is mess things up worse than ever. Now, the man, of course, was the one that messed things up, I think, worse than the woman, because he's the stronger vessel, and he, therefore, should have done what God told him to love his wife, as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, and so on. Well, woman missing that, she has gone on her own, and of course she is in a fine kettle of fish now. And that's exactly the way the church is. The church has operated so long apart from the revealed word of Almighty God that the church is no more the bride of Christ than nothing. See, she does not recognize a headship. This is why there's organizations and denominations. They have taken over a headship. That's why they're blasphemous names. A name's a terrible situation. Okay, let's keep reading. All these, this is in here too, what I've been saying. All these Easter bunnies and ceremonies and big churches and finery will fail and pass away until that church becomes both dynamics and mechanics. Well, they're neither one. See? And the Spirit of God that moved him to do these things that he did, if he hit on 16 cylinders, so will the bride. Amen. For it says in John 14 and 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. I'll give him a charge of my dynamics and his mechanics, that the world will not be able to withstand it, and I'll raise him up again in the last day. Now you'll notice once more, he brings the world in here. And he says, the world will not withstand it. Well, that doesn't mean the world is going to apprehend it in any way, shape, and form. It simply means the world can do nothing about it. But I want you to notice in here, there's a tremendous paradox, something that unless William Branham is a prophet, and a power of the caliber of Paul, he has done a most unforgivable thing, for he has taken and combined two scriptures which are not in context with each other. You'll notice that he took John 12, 14 and 12, and then he deliberately combined with it John 6. Now let's go back to John 6 and begin to read what Brother Bannon combined in there, because you've got to go to the Gospels. Since the Gospels is happen to form the key to the ministry amongst the Gentiles by Christ raised up to the Gentiles to do in the Spirit what he did for them in the flesh. So let's take a look at it. We're going to start reading way over here now in John 26 and 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, whence camest thou thither? And he said, I know you and your tricks and your big mouth. I'll tell you why you're looking for me. You don't seek me. Not because you saw the miracles, because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man should give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, he put his mark upon him that this is the one you're supposed to listen to. This is the vindicated one. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now that set a precedence for every church age messenger and for everyone that's in a true fivefold that brings the word to God, which brings a bride to perfection. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What doest thou? What dost thou work? Now they'd already seen the irreparable sign of the loaves and fishes. Now they said, what sign are you going to do now? See? Now, our fathers ate man in the desert. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now they're just telling him flat here, look, We subsisted on that bread from heaven for many years. Well, if you think you're going to get by with just turning a few loaves and fishes into food, when our forefathers had years and years and years, and that was God, and you did this miracle here, you got another gift coming. See? Jesus said unto them, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now that word in there doesn't mean cosmos in the bad sense. And God, it means God's own order. That's the cosmos, God's cosmos, because there's two cosmos, remember? Then said he unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Well, you say, okay, you're bigger than Moses, and you can bring bread to come down. Hey, we'll just quit working right now, throw down the old spade and shovel, and take up the harp and the violin, and you just keep feeding us. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I have said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now, Brother Branham categorically took the ministry and the intense purpose of Christ that he came for to bring in the sheep, to raise them up at the last day, and he placed it right in his own ministry. And people say, well, we just, wow, good Malachi stuff, to get them out of the grave. I'm going to tell you what, he ain't getting out of no grave in the first resurrection. And they better watch out in the second. Put the two together. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The word vengeance in the Bible means vindication. Under the correct situations, but not everyone, because most Greek words in Hebrew mean many things under occasion. Now, Brother Branham said, the world can't bypass it. This cloud, 26 miles up and 30 miles across. Pillar of fire, you can't prove it wrong. It's there. But they're still not going to take it. Now, they can't or they'd live. You show me a promise of life given to the seed of the serpent, death. He said, every plant my Father has not planted, talking about people, is going to root up and burn and leave them neither root nor branch. And don't tell me that there's half a trillion foolish virgin out there. You got a bunch of false anointings we'll see right down the road here. Now let's keep reading. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. What's the difference? Pillar of fire do it, man do it. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Is not this William Branham, the son of a drunkard? We know him, hillbilly. How is it then, he said, I came down from heaven? I'm not trying to say Brother Branham came down from heaven. I'm just saying people rise up and try to refute a testimony. Jesus therefore answered and said, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, you got the same thing. I don't care how many signs and wonders. I don't care how many pillars of fire. I don't care how many cloud of angels. I don't care how much vindication. There's going to be water off a duck's back and the roof of the ark unless you're elected. And people say, well, what is this about election? Yeah, I never understand people. It's nice I'm sweet tonight. I could just really shoot my conch right now, believe me. Here's about John the Baptist. He shall be full of the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall John turn to the Lord their God, and John shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a prepared people for the Lord. Then they, the elect, needed it.
See?
Speaking of the election, talking of Israel and the Gentiles under election, says in verse 32, Romans 11, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him? Shall it be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him, and to him are all things, to him be glory forever and ever. That's why Paul said, who are you, O man, to reply against God? But you can tell the very person that raises his voice in contradiction never was elect. Because faith does not ask questions. Now that's the thing, you know, I've noticed. So many came to Brother Branham all the time. Questions, questions, questions. I had a few questions for Brother Branham, not very many, only in conjunction with writing it off. Always sat there and listened and listened. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Questioning has no place with faith, none whatever. Because questions are nothing but doubts. Now, you want to understand a little doctrine, ask a question, that's okay. But you notice the use of the same people is always questions, 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 questions. I'm not trying to frighten anybody here from asking questions, because if I invite questions, then we want questions. But I'm talking about a questioning attitude. They're just in the people's hearts. You can never get him on, never get them on course. All right, you notice three times in there, in John 6, he spoke that he'll raise them up. And each time it had to do with the bread from heaven. Now, Brother Branham, he combined John 14 and 12, which was the vindication, the identical ministry, proving the bread from heaven was here, which if a man eat, he cannot die. You say, why? They ate the manna before. Yes! Because that manna was not charged with immortality. It was only charged with the ability to get you out of the grave. This sees that you won't go into the grave. They're going to the tree of life. All right. Now that's the Easter message, the one he's preaching. The dynamics and the mechanics together. The mechanics without dynamics, no good. Neither is dynamics without mechanics. You can scream and shout and jump down, up and down all you want to, and deny this word won't do any good. You're just cranking around. The pistons got spark there to fire, but no gasoline to fire it by. They only work as they come together. Amen. So one will sit still and the other will go up. That's the only thing there is to it. Yet they both might look alike. Both claim to be churches. Both claim to be brides. But one has mechanics and dynamics. It brings it to pass. But what he said is the truth. Now you notice in there again that if you didn't understand false anointed, that if you didn't understand what we're talking about, this would go plumb over your head. Over your head. But what is he doing? He's telling you. The great qualifier here is the word. It brings it to pass, but what he said is the truth. Now notice, he said, there are things that can be brought to pass. And one will look just like the other. But there's coming a time when the word is vindicated. A special word brought to pass at the end time. That's going to make the difference. Now it says it just won't move, no matter how good the mechanics is, until the dynamics come. Very true. It's not going to get very far. Let me see now, watch my notes down here. Now watch. It won't move no matter how good the mechanics is until the dynamics come. All right? Now you look at that when he's telling you, I don't care how perfect the thing looks, and he's talking about a body, he's talking about a resurrection. Now, Jesus Christ lay in the grave for 3 days, and he did not corrupt. Now, if there had been blood in his body at that time, it would have been fluid, but the blood was drained out. The brain had not swollen. Nothing took place. It couldn't. Now, but the body was still a corpse until life returned to it. Now then, when dynamics come, that fire is made to connect with that octane in the gasoline. Now, there was a perfect body there. Absolutely like Adam's, it was waiting for the spirit to be breathed into it. And when that explodes, it causes a combustion, and that combustion produces every motion, every move, for he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Then if he's alive and risen from the dead, he's got to do what he did before the body died, after the body rose. And remember, it's not the body, it's the life. So the body doesn't have to be here. All he's got to do is have the many-membered bride standing here, and he'll find a way to work it out. Now, that's the resurrection. That's the real power of God, mechanics and dynamics. He's talking about the resurrection, the rising of the sun. Now, he said, I don't care. He absolutely said there can be... Everything looks like it's ready for a resurrection. Everything wonderful. But until the dynamics hit it, which is what? The life released to the Word. See? So how come? Because God came into Christ at the River Jordan. Now, notice, it's the Spirit that quickens. It's the spark that fires. It's not the gas that fires. It's the spark that fires the gas. See? You can do nothing without me, but with me you can do all things. He is the Word. It's the Father living. The Father sent me, so I send you. As the Father has fired me and pushed me into everything, I only do that which is pleasing to God. How much does God push women preachers into the pulpit? And tongues and interpretation on the floor. And missionary programs that are expired. Why, people just can't get their minds in order. That's why Brother Branham said, you can't operate on yesterday's message. Now, you're not going to get people to tell you that. Listen, they ain't going to do it. There's no way you're going to get them convinced. See? I only do that which is pleasing to God. Now, as he sent me, so I send you with the same mechanics. All right? And it takes the same dynamics to operate it. And these signs shall follow them that claim to have the mechanics. The dynamics will take its place. All right, he's putting the thing in order now. Now, you've got to watch pretty careful here. He said, Paul said, the gospel came to us not in word only, through gasoline, but through spark also it to make it move. There you are. It came to us in that manner. Now that's how it came. Now Paul tells us that over there in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. So we could just maybe take a quick look at it. Been into it so many dozens of times. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came out with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now he declared the testimony of God, but he did it a certain way. For I determined not many among you save Jesus Christ and crucified. Now he had to preach the cross. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, my speech and preaching, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now he's telling you that. How it came. In other words, it came to him in a tremendous, vindicated, dynamic way. All right, then how would it return? In the same way. Okay. He said he pushed them into everything. In other words, the complete headship of Almighty God over Jesus Christ. I only do the things that he shows me to do and say the things he tells me to say. All right? There you are. It came to us in that manner. It's the same Spirit that raised him up that quickened the true believer to eternal life. Now remember potentially. Now watch. We're getting out of our time. Notice. The same Spirit. Now Romans 8 and 1. Let's just read that again. Romans 8 and 1. Romans 8 and 11. There's the catch. There's the problem. But if the Spirit of him, God, the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now there you are. If the bridegroom Spirit dwells in the bride. Now he's telling you there that there is evidently a true baptism and there is a false baptism. Because this bunch here can produce certain things and over here certain things are produced, but there's something lacking somewhere. Now, let's just take a look at it. We keep reading. When God made his first bridegroom, he made the bridegroom first. He was both man and woman of spirit. Formed him in the dust of the earth to make him material. And notice, when he made Eve from Adam, he took not another piece of clay. He took the same piece of clay, the same word. Now watch, he's putting word and clay is the same like we did. The Bible in the stars, the zodiac. The Bible in stone. The Bible in the written form. The Bible in flesh. So we're talking now about a flesh here. See? He took from him and then taken, he had the masculine and feminine spirit. He took the female spirit from Adam, placed it in Eve. So it's still part of Adam's spirit. Now part of it. What you got from way back there, that little tiny seed. If you weren't there in the beginning, you aren't here now. See? Now, placed it. It's still part of Adam's spirit. It's Adam's flesh. Then it was Adam's spirit, the dynamics, that quickened the mechanics of his body. So the bride must also be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Now, how is this mortal flesh going to become his flesh? We'll get to it in a minute, see? How's it done? What's this great transformation? Notice. Now, if the Spirit of him, God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh my, the predestinated one, of course, like the seed laid upon the earth, the one that had life in them, many of them were dead. They were just rotten seeds. The water and things burn them out. But you know there was a seed lying there ready for life. God knew it was lying there. Now the predestinated ones are the first to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit comes to claim its own. Now this is deep now. Be sure to catch this good. Now just a minute ago, well, it's just, what he's saying here is the very thing that you're born again by the Holy Spirit, he's going to come and catch you that are born again at this last time. All right, now, I don't care if you are dead. You'll be raised up. Now, as the sun was sent across the earth, not to bring rocks, which was dirt also to light. It was not to bring all the dirt to light, but was to bring the part of the dirt which was enclosed around the light. Now watch, that's resurrection. Same way, you got to come back, but you're going to come back changed. Not all men receive Christ. As you watch this, oh no. But those which God foreordained to life is housed around some of the dirt of the earth. That's the ones he's come to quicken. Now, there's one lump. But it depends on what's in that hunk of clay that's no different from another hunk of clay. Now, as there's no difference between the two hunks of clay, you can get a false anointed person to be 100% like the very best Christian ever was. And missed that word of God 100 miles, 1,000 miles. Why? Because what was in there was missing. They won't all receive it. Man told me, I don't believe. I don't care what you say. If you could raise up the dead or anything and heal the sick and prove it anyway, I still don't believe it. Now look what he's saying to a vindicated prophet. I said, certainly not. You're an unbeliever. Don't mean a thing to you. Wasn't even sent to you. It's sent to those who will believe. Now watch. The message is to the believer. Now this guy wasn't even interested in a message. He couldn't even take the sign. What if a man called Brother Banner the devil? Where'd that put him? See? Now, the message is to the believer. To them that perish is foolishness, but to them that are in Christ, and part of that seed its life. Now, he illustrates. My crude little story about the farmer putting eagle egg under a hen. See? Little eagle is absolutely just odd-looking little creature. This farmer that did that thing, he put this eagle under the old hen, she hatched out a funny-looking chicken. And it was an odd little fellow. He didn't look like the chickens. Feathers weren't like the rest of the chickens. He's a little odd guy. All the rest of the chickens recognized him as an odd fellow. And the hen went around. He didn't even like the diet she's feeding him. Just scratching in the barnyard. Didn't have nothing to do with that. And then the hen would cluck, and you know, the days of miracles are past. No such thing. Join the church. It just didn't hit right with the little guy. So he followed around the hen one day. Man, he noticed he hit the two people there at one time. He hit those that don't believe in the Mark 16, and then there's the Pentecostals who do, but then join churches. Organizations. The old eagle knew she'd laid so many eggs, there's one missing. She knew that eagle was somewhere, so she starts out to hunt him, circles over the mountaintop, down the valleys, over everywhere, where they might be, but this time it's time for him to be born, time to be hatched, and said maybe a crow come in, picked up an egg, maybe a vulture, don't know. Something picked up my egg, but I know that egg is in my mind. I got a son somewhere, got to hunt him. Now, you know, Brother Branham goes through all that little talk there, but you know one thing about it. There ain't no way a crow is going to get away at that egg. Can't be done. But he knows how he corrects himself. He's out there looking anyway. Well, I'll say maybe the egg eagle got it, the old crow got it and dropped it somewhere. No, they're going to destroy the egg. One day, the story goes, the old eagle flew over the barnyard, looking everywhere she found him. Oh, for that resurrection to recognize that he really wasn't a chicken after all. He was an eagle. Now, that resurrection right there, of course, is a spiritualized one. And you can tell there could be many resurrections on that particular order. And, you know, in a sense of the word, we're illustrating now. But he was always taught to look down, look for a bug or something in the barnyard. He heard a scream that said, look up this way. That's to get his mind changed, you see. And he looked above him. There was a creature, 14-foot wings, more powerful than chickens, in the barnyard, and claimed him to be your son. He said, Mama, how can I get you? She said, just jump, start flopping your wings. Wings, you're an eagle. So the first thing comes is recognition, then make a move. See, she knew she had a son somewhere. No matter what he had been raised up in, she got a son somewhere. And God knows, hallelujah, he's got a predestinated, foreordained church. He knows he's got sons and daughters and a bride waiting somewhere. And when the Holy Spirit began to fly over it, that wave sheet, oh my, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Not a mystical story, but a reality. And now he comes right back to the ministry, the power of God in the Word, and said, this is going to bring a resurrection. Because it's foreordained for the resurrection hour. See? This eagle didn't know what an eagle was, yet he was an eagle. He would not understand it until he'd seen something that reflected him. That he reflected rather. And when we see not a denomination, not a PhD, not an LLD, not a good neighbor, but a son of God, molding the image of God, the dynamite power of God, to answer the request of this day, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, there ain't no hen going to hold you. Now it tells you right there, unless you understand Hebrews 13 and 8, for what it is, you're not getting off the ground. Because you don't know what it's all about. Still don't understand false anointed. Still can't figure that word. Now you're not supposed to figure it. You're supposed to believe what the man, the authority, who is doing the act, tells you. It's above your mind. Because it never came out of your mind in the first place. Back to Romans again. The subject of predestination. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? or who had been his counselor, or who first gave to him, who put something in the mind of God, dropped dead. Dropped dead. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. Science today can fool with DNA and RNA, but they cannot make DNA and RNA per se. Or they can make a good try at it and come up with ersatz coffee every single time. All science can do is produce a Hitler and a Stalin and a bunch of kooks like we've had, which are no better. I can't understand this country. It's just one thing that just leaves me strictly appalled. Reagan, everybody, runs around the country, around the whole world, trying to settle world affairs. I want to know one thing. Was DeLorean trained by the FBI? If he was, where's Reagan? He ain't worth the powder to blow him to hell. Because this country's gone. This country needs one thing. It needs courts. With the money supplied to keep those courts in order. And the first man in line, they put him back in line. He's gone. The country's finished. Country's finished. Sure, that's all that fooling around can do is produce this kind of stuff. God produced truth and reality. And they turn from it. But I'll tell you one thing, there's just one thing about it. A true bride looks at these things and just wants to become that much closer to God and be that much truer and honest and right about everything that she's involved in and not go the way of the world. All right. Now it says here, understand Hebrews 13 and 8. He hunts for his mama. He's an eagle to begin with. He recognizes this real eagle, recognizes the call of God's word. I see, there's your difference right there. Why he's an eagle. An eagle to an eagle. The word before the foundation, of the word to the word. The word predestinated to the word written for the hour. Now see what he's telling you? The whole thing devolves upon and hinges upon a true revelation of what is going on at this moment. The word keep moving to the word that's here. The hour of the land of promise that we're in. The book of Joshua, the book of Ephesians. See? Moving us right into this relationship of revelation. Let's go back to John 4. The woman at the well. Now she said in verse 19, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers, now watch the big old argument, the big brouhaha. Our fathers worship this mountain. If you're a prophet, she said, we're going to get some things straight here, I hope. Right? She's a nice lady. You're saying Jerusalem's a place to worship, men ought to worship. Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour comes and you'll neither worship this mountain or Jerusalem. And yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you don't know what you worship. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews, one God, see? But the hour coming now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So the church has to come to the place which it has come to now through the woman at the well. Demonstration. And the redemonstration in this hour, we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth and nobody else is doing it. And that's your journey into the millennium. Right with the pillar of fire, one with it. And all the purposes of God. And all the purposes of God is to have a bride on this earth in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you realize your position? He said he hunted for it. Are you seeking yours? This then, this earthly body is quickened and brought by the quickening power of God to obedience to the word of God. What he wanted to know, how could he get there with her? He'd been taught he couldn't do it. You can't get no higher and you jump. He's a chicken, see? The eagle said, that's not so. what you thought was going to get up there. Where'd those angels come from? Down up above. Where are we going? Up where they were. Brother Branham got caught up. Same as John got caught up. What is it a type of? The rapture. Brother Branham said so. So apply it to him. Now, move up. The word to the word. The works that I do shall you also. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he also. Now watch. But because I live, he lives also. And if the Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you, it quickens your mortal body. Now he's taken Scripture again and perverted it. Shout, voice, rapture. I don't know what's simpering that, and God's doing it. And he's doing it for the elect. And if you're elect, you ain't going to miss it. And if you aren't elect, you ain't going to get in it. And every church has three kind of believers. That's a tough one. You think that doesn't kill a man up front to say a thing like that? It kills him for several, number two reasons. He hates to think anybody might be in that category, and he hates to think that he has anything to do with it. What does it do? Now listen, so that you'll know that this Easter, I want it to mean more to you than any Easter ever did. See, I want you to see it. We know what it did for him, but I want you to see it. Not will, it has done the same for you. See, what does it do? It quickens the mortal body. This mortal body we live in, it quickens it. In other words, brings it to life. Now he's going to make some illustration here that puts you into a spiritual resurrection again, as it were. Not really, but just watch it. Now, you who once walked along with a great big cigar in your mouth, and everything, a bunch of cigarettes, you even had short hair, painted, carried on, wore shorts, things like that. All at once. Something screamed, and you looked down here, and it was the Word. See? It quickened you. You said, no more shorts to me. No more liquor. No more lying. No stealing. No more this, that. See? Spirit that raised him from the dead, dwelling in you, will also bring your mortal bodies, the dust of the earth, and subjection. You see, what is it? Subjection to what? Christ. Who's Christ? The Word. Not the theology, but the Word. Now, that's the process of sanctification that precedes the baptism. Then what is the situation of the church? It's got sanctified, all right. But it didn't go out of the Holy Ghost, so they get a word understanding of what's required. Now, people said, what does it matter? You cut your hair. What's that got to do with it? What's the matter this? What's the matter that? This is the corrected word coming forth. And if a person's an eagle, that person slaps on her right now. Then you say that these things like, oh, I think it's okay women wear slacks. The word says no. See, it quickens you to that. See, you're drawn to it. See, you become a part of that word. In other words, manifest it because you already are. It brought your body. Not, well, you say, well, now, let me tell you something. My pastor, I don't care what your pastor says. It's what the word says. If you want to be a chicken, go with him. If the pastor speaks different from this word, he's not a feeder of eagles. He's a feeder of hens, not the eagles. See? Now, Brother Branham makes a clean-cut statement. Either you're with this word or you're wrong. The way he taught it. The Bible said it's wrong to do that. The man and the man said so forth. And what all you do, and what all you do that's wrong. Say, days of miracles past. This Bible said he said yesterday, today, and forever. Now, how could anybody that says the days of miracles past accept the prophet Elijah? How can a people who won't listen to words accept the prophet Elijah? Even though they believe in miracles. Can't do it. This Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if they say that's mental telepathy, that's, of course, discernment. Kind of mind reading, this discernment, all these visions is nonsense. They're chickens. They don't know what ego food is. So the first step in ego food is knowing that this is something to be reckoned with. And you start watching the Bible to see where it's going. First step. But if you turn it down flat, you haven't got a prayer. But brother, when you hear that scream, there's something in you, you're meager to begin with. Now, in other words, you'll notice that the scream begins with what you see. So therefore, you're hearing from God the minute you see something. That's right. Your consciousness is struck. Why? You are that seed that the resurrection of the capital S-O-N have dawned, and the wave sheaf upon the earth to make you recognize you're an eagle and not a denomination of chicken. Now that's nailed. Christ risen amongst us and waved over us is the manifestation that we saw before through the prophet's ministry, and then heard the same one give us the words of life. He that believeth in me shall never perish. Now, if the Spirit that raised him from the dead, the Word, the dynamic of the Word dwells in you, it'll also quicken your mortal body. All right. Now, if the Spirit that raised him from the dead, the Word, the dynamic of the Word dwells in you, it'll also quicken your mortal body. Now listen, that goes back to the previous paragraph. The sheaf waved over you. Who's in the midst of you? Son of man? Call it that if you want. Elohim, Almighty God. Now, if the one who is Spirit, that same one that raised Jesus, is in you. See? You recognizing the waving, you're going to have your mortal body quickened. Just the same as back there, when you became a Christian, you got your life cleaned up. And when you heard the Word, and you said, I can't let cut my hair off anymore. Can't wear slacks. And the men and women buckle down. Said, you got it made. Oh, God. What more do people want? What more do they want? I want to know, what more do they want? If God Almighty's Word brought all this and it's all kept by it and has been manifested before us, then who needs anything else? Because God swore by Himself. The same thing in Revelation 10:1-17. Lift these hands and swear it again. We're ushered into the millennium. We're being ushered in. Is the seventh seal open? Is that? No, it's not. Goodbye, Charlie. To him it isn't. Forget it. I'm too impatient for this nonsense. Now, how are we flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? Because while we were mortal sinners, mortal ready to die, these bodies, it quickens that body. What quickens? Brings to life. The spirit that once liked to drink, run around, commit adultery, all these things, it's quickened. And a fellow still likes it, something's wrong with it. I think people think because I'm 70 years of age just about, I'm bored to death because I got hardly any vigor left. Oh, boy. Takes half an hour to limber up more than I'm as limbered up and free as any of you. Oh, I can't quite fly quite as high and run quite as far, but so, whew, maybe I've done my flying and running before you're even around. Even. That's it, Brother Vale. Let him know the truth. So the spirit that once liked to drink, run around, commit adultery, these things, it's been quickened. Why, the things died and you're resurrected. It quickens your mortal body. Therefore, your body is a temple to the dynamics. Because why? From the beginning, you're part of the mechanics. What's he telling you? That seed in there has been watered. See, this junk around has got to rot away. Life's coming forth. These bodies are quicker now. See, you've heard, you believe. It changed you from a denomination to the Word. See? The dynamics. If it comes upon water, it'll just sputter. You put water in there, spark plug can't do it any good. Juice won't do any good. Days of mere breath, putt, sputter. Oh, I believe divine. Pump. Did it? But when it hits 1,000 octane, just whirs and away she goes, see? The dynamics strike that. But if it strikes a chicken, it won't do no good. When it strikes an eagle, he moves out. Amen. The dynamics with the mechanics. See what I mean? That is, if he's a true eagle now. He'll understand. Now, he said, if he's an eagle, a true one, he'll understand. Now, let me straighten the scripture for you. John 5:24 said, he that hears my word, believes and sent me everlasting life. Now, look. I go down the street and just take that literally and what it is without spiritual understanding. Not making it say nothing else, but just saying what it is, see? And right there in the Greek and original, it says, he that understandeth my word. Now, people said, Brother Brand didn't go to the Greek, so I can't go either. He just said he went to the Greek. Must have been a newfie, thought anyone of them. Now, to prove that, I go down here, and here's a drunk coming down the street, another man in his wife's man in his arms, and cussing and taking God's name and everything else, says, did you hear that preacher said? Did you? Sure heard it. That doesn't mean that man's got eternal life. See, he that understandeth my word, he that's an eagle. Now, Brother Bam, I want more scripture than that. All right, my sheep hear my voice. The stranger they won't follow. Well, there must be something that sheep understands, doesn't understand the other fellow's voice. As in marriage and divorce case the other day, when the Holy Spirit told me that, and I come and said it just the way he told me, some lady minister gave me a little right sharp little bawling out. She said, I guess you take the place of God. I said, no, man. Well, you told me your sins were forgiven. Said, well, only God has power to. Another Pharisee, see? I said, you see, that you might know that Jesus told Peter and the apostles after he had the revelation of who he was and told him, thou art Christ, the Son of God. He said, blessed art thou, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood may reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed to you. Upon this rock I'll build my church, the gates thou can't prevail against it, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will bind in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will loose in heaven. That's right. That's that divine revelation of the Word made flesh. If it was flesh in that day by the Son and the Groom, it's the flesh of today by the bride. Now notice, the bride per se did not do it as a group, but because he did it and he was a member, the bride did it. And remember, let's face this, when he did it, he was acting in capacity as the head. And therefore, whatever he did, the bride did, period, in perfect relationship to Almighty God. He himself, he said concerning Jesus, he forced me to do it. Brother Branham used that term. He himself said, I was put into a pipe. Where God pushed me. The word is pushed. Whoever sins you remit, to them they remit it. Whoever sins you retain, to them they retain. Now the Catholic Church picked it up and took it to their priest, and that's carnal. Watch. It's the spiritual revealed word that did it. That's the reason he told them to go baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He knew who he was. Talking to the priest the other day, he said, now Brother Branham, I come out and join. Went to certain church, Pentecostal church. Pentecostal started taking the wafer now. You know that round wafer, kosher, moon god. They all accepted taking it. This man... congregation went to him and said, what I bless is blessed. Now, that ain't what the priest says. He has power to turn it back to the body of Christ. In other words, it can't be done. Well, see, that just six of one, half dozen the other. In other words, what's the difference between Protestant and Catholic? No difference at all. Get back to the Word. And he said, I want you to ask this. You know something? The Catholics and the Lutherans got together. And they said, I'm going to tell you something. There is no church that's infallible, and nobody's got a right to say it has like any pope with any infallibility. And nobody's got a right to even set up a doctrine. So they cut the whole thing down. They just said, well, we just all love Jesus. Hallelujah. So Protestants are going to hell because they're off the Word, and Catholics are going to hell because they're off the Word, and a whole bunch are going to hell because they're off the Word. Let's face it. And if we're off the Word, we'll go to hell too. Let's not kid ourselves, brother. You know how it is. Just stay with the Word of God. If it hurts you, it hurts you. He said, do you think it's necessary that a man should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? I said, yes, sir. He said, after he's been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I said, yes, sir. He hasn't been baptized at all. And where did Springman put you? He hasn't been baptized at all. No name. That's a title. I said, it isn't recognized. He said, why did Peter do it? Well, let me tell you something. In Acts 10:49, he said, well, Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost found them. But I said, he turned right around and said, can a man forbid water that these should not be baptized? He said, well, he was speaking over there a while ago about Acts 19, where Paul passed to the upper coast to find disciples. He said, why weren't they baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I said, no, they were baptized under repentance, not remission of sins, but repentance, because Jesus hadn't been made known yet. The sacrifice hadn't been killed. Well, why'd they have to be baptized over? I said, that was the man that had the keys that said, for it be known unto you, there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. Salvation alone goes in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word or deed, do on the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, the Pentecostals get around that by saying, while they do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hogwash. That won't work. That's absolutely a... That new brother, sister, come on. That's diabolical. There's not another name, no church, no hierarchy, no titles, nothing else. Yet he's the Rose of Sharon, near the valley, morning, south, and mega, beginning and end, Jehovah Jireh, Rapha, Mass, and so on, all these things. But yet, there's no salvation in any of these titles. Jehovah, no salvation. Rose of Sharon, no. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, no salvation. Only the name of Jesus. Of course, Jesus is Jehovah. Or Joshua, Jehovah's Savior. But you got to understand where you place it, because it had to come by flesh. He said, do you think it makes any difference? I said, sir, I want to ask you something. He and I and my wife sitting across the table, just moved over to Arizona. Both Arizonians live here. And you know the council of the ward, the mayor and the governor. He said, yes. Now, if I told you, brother, to go over here and sign up for our dinner in the name of the governor of the state of Arizona, would you sign it like that? Do you think they received the desk? He said, why, I guess not. Why did Jesus say that? I said, this is it, see? Why? I told you to go sign for this dinner in the name of the governor of Arizona, us being citizens of Arizona, knowing who the governor is. Why? You know to sign in the name of Sam Goddard, because he's governor of the state. I don't have to question you. You know who the governor is. Now, when he said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he knew how they were going to baptize. They knew who he was. My sheep hear my voice. He said, oh, I see. But the next thing, will you believe? That's the paradox. Can't take the explanation. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me have everlasting life. Now, of course, right there, Brother Branham was sent by God. Gordon Lindsay wrote a book, A Man Sent by God. What do you do when the man stands up and says, well, you know, he's just a prophet when he discerns, but in the word, he ain't got it. I'm not trying to condemn that man. I'm just asking the question. You know, people think you can fool with God and have your cake and eat it. You can't do it. You can't do it. When this new eternal life dwells in you, it's the potential. When you receive the Holy Spirit now, like they did at Pentecost, they were the mechanics. Now the dynamics had come. They had believed. Why were they the mechanics? Because they were the elected foreknown ones in the beginning. The life surrounded by that little piece of dirt. Now the water's got to be poured upon it. If water's poured upon, God's obligated to raise it up someday. You know, our good Baptist friends tell us, well, when we believe, we've got it. But they didn't have it. And yet they believed. In Acts 19, you believe. They didn't have it. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? See, they had the mechanics all right. Because the apostles, if Apollos was teaching them and proving by the Bible the mechanics that Jesus was the Christ, but they didn't have the dynamics. Is that right? You potentially have the earnest, the waiting. But when you get the dynamics, you have been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes the whole body come subject to the Word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll just make you different. Certainly will. Now look. Been quickened. Yet, you who were once dead in sins and trespasses, quickened, and darkness hath he quickened. By what? His Spirit that raised up Jesus on Easter morning from the dead. And if it dwells in your mortal bodies, watch, it also quickens, brings to life, makes it subject to the Word. Now, how in the world can anybody be subject to a Word unless, first of all, you understand it, and therefore believe it? No way. Now, how can you claim to have that Spirit and throw yourself away from the Word? Well, they say, well, William Branham, we got news to you. Just because you tell us this doesn't mean we have to listen to you. Who are you anyway? Yet on a tape more than one time, he said, if he only knew who I was, that everyone would be healed. Said that down in Florida. Said another place, I forget which. Nobody said, who are you anyway? What are you trying to tell us? No, you know what happens? Those things just make you go rigid. You know why? Because nobody understood the Word would have a man like that here in front of us. That man could come and say anything he wanted. It goes right over their heads. We're only learning now because we have come to the place of accepting him. And in accepting him, we automatically accept the one that sent him. When we accept the mechanics, William Branham, then the dynamics that came, we automatically accept the dynamics of our God, which in turn will take our mechanics, the physical, right to glorification. You can't. You can't get away from it. Now look, subject to the Word. Now, how can you claim to have that Spirit and throw yourself away from the Word? You're quickened by something else. For it will quicken your mortal bodies to the Word. Sure it will. You can't run without it. You'll just flutter if you don't believe all of it. If you have part gasoline, part water, you ain't going to go nowhere. See, you got to be 100% gasoline. If you don't, you're back frying. You ain't got no power. He's talking about this minute. Don't ever let your mind get away from the subject of the resurrection, because that's the subject. The mind wants to go back. Oh, my experience. Oh, this. Oh, that. Oh, shut up. Take one of those hoses. They use hydraulic hoses. PSI about what? 15,000 pounds per square inch minimum, maybe 35,000 pounds, make it a million. And just take one shot at your brain, get all that manure out of there. Well, that's how it was. Hercules cleaned the Aegean stable. They were so full of manure, but he could clean them with the Hercules or Atlas. I forget. Who knows it? Who knows mythology? Well, you're worse than that. What am I doing with you guys? Can't answer even the question for me. Anyway, they wanted to clean these great big old stables, and nobody could do it. So he said, well, I'll just run the river through and shoot the merchant, and water took the manure away. Diverted the river back. But you know what? They did that under Babylon. Yeah, they came in one night, and they diverted the river. Old Belshazzar sat there rejoicing and praising, you know, having a great time, boozing up the women, everything else, desecrating the temples, the vessels of the temple of Almighty God. There they diverted the river and crawled under the banks, under the walls. And you didn't have scuba divers in those days. They did a mighty good job, though. Came and took the dump over. See? All right. And quicken your mortal bodies to work. Sure, well, you can't run without it. You'll just splutter if you don't believe it at all. If you have part water, part gasoline, no, you got to be 100%. Talking about a resurrection. You've got to have the Word today and be part of that Word and know it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the presence, the whole thing right here, everything divine order, everything being said here, there's got to be rapture. And I'm going to tell you, there's got to be rapture. Or the whole thing's up for grabs. Who gives a rip? Where are you going to go? I mean, that's my brother, sister. I didn't die and come back again. You're still in the face of the inscrutable. You're still at the place where you got to believe. Now, the question is, what do you believe? I believe this. Best thing came along yet. See? Now, I'll believe in this, I'll believe that. She's pump, 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 you ain't going nowhere. But, oh, when you take the fullness, let it light up on that. Every word is truth. Now, he's told you. Hebrews 13 and 8. In the Spirit, he returns to the Gentiles. He's waved over the congregation, proving he's that one. Now he's here, and if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you get it just like that, line right up, and you're going to get out of here. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Then he came back and finished the work off like he started me. You just can't get people to believe. What? It's not our job to get them to believe. You don't have to trick anybody to believe. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's manifesting time. Just you wait. Just watch. Oh, they can't stay with it. Oh, no. Does anybody in this building then have an excuse for telling a lie? Give me one reason. Can't do. Don't let your thoughts go. Just think of what I'm saying. Don't try to put a meaning on them. I'm not going to explain it. Anybody got an excuse for stealing? Now, you could go out in the neighbor's field and eat some wheat, but you couldn't carry away pockets of it. You just eat some. Anybody in the shoes committing adultery? Woman running off her husband? Nobody. Nobody has an excuse. But it's being done. How much Holy Ghost? How much Holy Ghost? It's not there. Just not there. Oh, I know we can fall. I know we can be trapped. I know a lot of those things. But you see, you're under a different hour than you were in Pentecost. God winked at ignorance at one time. But there's no ignorance anymore. The questions have been answered. God made a way.
But you'll keep looking out here and you'll see all that stuff going around the country. You'll see the same people do the same thing over and over again. And you know I'm not one for trying to flaunt works for anybody. Say, hey, this fellow is built on works. I'm not saying that. But Brother Branham said, hey, you used to smoke cigars years ago. You ran with women. You don't do it anymore. What happened? What if you go back? You know something? Let's get this flat. It's been my experience that the hog returns to the wall and the dog to the vomit, which lets you know where the hog had a habitat he goes back to, and what the dog once ate you go back to. So therefore, if a person was an inveterate smoker, if he backslides, if there wasn't anything in the first place, maybe go back to smoking. People carry patterns with them all the time, habit patterns and this and that, and you watch. Now we're getting beyond that. I'm not even talking about this church, you see. But things come into my experience with telephone calls, and a lot of things come up. And I watch patterns, and that pattern is just the same. It never changes. But you know something? We're not that way. I believe there's a moving in the bride, brother, sister that can face up to anything. You say, have you faced up? No, but I do my facing up. I haven't faced up to everything. But there is a facing up that never was there a while ago. With it comes an understanding. Now, Brother Branham lays this all out here, and he said, now look, he said, he's covered the whole area. He's covered conduct and everything else. And he said, now, at this end time here, a real, genuine believer, he will absolutely know from the prophet pillar fire, understanding of the word, there'll be conduct, there'll be all these things in here. And he said at the end time, it's just like a naturalness. Walking closer and closer to the perfect day. So what I'm letting you know here is this, that this quickening is quickening as it's never quickened before outside the first age, and it's going beyond the first age, because the first age was a lion, and this one roared like a lion, because the gulf began moving, flashing across the world. This can't flash anymore. It's done flashed. There's no place else to go. But all the qualities that went with it are still here. Now, they had a job, and Paul, looking down the road, said, let him that steals stole no more. Lie not one to another. Husbands, love your wives. Women, obey your husbands. See? We haven't lost anything. We haven't put away anything. It's just come more and more and more, and greater, and we're now at the end time. So we have every right to expect a standard in every one of our churches without riding people to death or anything else. So begin moving on in faith. Realize within you is a cry and a call to be different from what you ever were, more steadfast, more honorable, more understanding, everything in there. But if you do one thing outside this word, you know that your morals and everything else don't have any foundation in the first place. See, there's a difference with us. The difference lies in that word. Because that word, having that one risen and waved over us now, we are at the end of the hour of the age of the promise. We're coming to. So I hope you understand. I don't want to dampen anybody's feelings, but every now and then I've got to say some little thing to make you realize. Although I don't preach pastoral messages in the sense of delineating upon conduct and all these other fine things that go into church. Look, it's more incumbent upon us than ever to see these things. But we see them way beyond the others ever saw beyond. All they could see. What could they see? I don't know.
organization, things. We see Him. We see Him clearly. So the Lord bless you. Keep going on. Stay with the Word and all those things that are in there, but know this one thing. I don't care if you're as perfect as when Adam stepped from the hand of God. God would have still had to do something for Adam to bring him to immortality, because Adam did not have within himself and by himself, of himself, that seed which would naturally have turned to it. God would have still done it. So no matter how far we get, and thank God we go a long way in many directions, the thing we're looking at above all is going to get us out of here. We are looking at that Word, and thereby know we are born again. And as Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, then let us be sure to walk in it. That is what I'm trying to tell you. That is what I'm laying on the line. We must never get carried away to where we say, well, hey, I understand the Word. I see these things. It doesn't matter. See, that's what do you see in the first place? Nah. Like the old Baptist hogwash of being eternal secure and nothing to be secured with. Where the person says, I believe in falling away, nothing to fall away from in the first place. If you're really a servant of God, you neither have falling away or eternal security in the sense they have it. If you're a child of God, you always were. You'll never be anything else but. You will make it. But when the little eagle looked up, I'm going to tell you, he didn't run back to the barnyard for a second dose. That's what I'm saying. And plainly he says, rise. If he did, he wasn't an eagle to begin with, because he liked the chicken corruption too much. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight that, you know, in your Word, we remind ourselves daily, trusting we do, that there is a life to be lived in this circumspect way of our Lord, as the Apostle Paul said, and we appreciate that. And Father, we're saying tonight, with our hearts elevated toward you, in all humility, in all regard, O God, of your sacred divine presence, we want to so walk that we'd be pleasing. Really, Lord, we want to put away all envy, malice, and all those things that Paul said could be amongst us. All things, Lord, which are not right, evil speaking, all those things, my God, we could be a long time naming this way Paul is, but Father, we want it all put away and bring it right to the place where your great servant Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in it. And as John said, to walk in the light as he is in the light, there was a walk involved there, the blood would be constantly cleansing. What a wonderful thing. And the nearer and nearer we get, the blood getting stronger and stronger, because right in the presence of our God, and him coming, vindicating himself to us, oh, what servants we ought to be, Father, that's what we're saying. Help us tonight. In our repentant hearts, O God, our changed minds in all these ways, we must serve thee better by our lives. We must glow absolutely with that beautiful glow of God, a life that is burning for him, through him, of him, and for him. Father, we just love you tonight. Appreciate you so much. Thank you for the opportunity of having been here, getting your Word together. We love you. You know that we do. And we know that you love us. We are very grateful. Bless your people everywhere, Lord. Help them, O God. Help us, Lord, to understand that everybody has problems. And may we be those who help to help the problems and not add to them. Help us to lift burdens rather than to be burdensome. In all things, Lord, may gentleness and meekness be amongst us as never before. And unto the King eternal and immortal is the only wise God, whom we dearly love. In Jesus' name we pray, may he have honor and glory forevermore. Amen. Let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you, Sunday morning, of course, 11 o'clock.